Good morning, everyone. Today is Tuesday, July 17, 2018. It's 11 a.m. and we're gathered in the BCC conference room at the Josephine County Courthouse and for a general discussion. President Commissioner Morgan, Commissioner Morgan, Commissioner Hare, and Commissioner DeYoung. And let's just go around the table and introduce ourselves for the record.
Colleen Padilla, I'm the Executive Director for Southern Oregon Regional Economic Development.
And Rob Merriman, I'm the Community Development Manager for So Ready.
Okay.
And Julie Schmelzer, Director of Community Development for Josephine County.
Great. And item one is So Ready Update. So let's just get started.
Great. Thank you again, Commissioners, for your time. What I thought I would do, I know that Commissioner Morgan was at our annual meeting, and so was Julie. Thank you for coming. These are some of my comments from the meeting, but I wanted to go through kind of the bullet list because it really gives a good snapshot over this last fiscal year of what have we been doing. And I know that's important for you to connect the dots, like what exactly do we do, because it's not always clear. So again, these bullet points starting on page two are exactly what I shared with about 150 guests when we were on the Rogue River last month. And so one of the first things I wanted to just highlight again was this historic collaboration between the two jurisdictions, Grants Pass and Josephine County, to get this work done for Dutchbro, right? For, coming together in very short notice, which was not because Dutchbro came to us last minute. It was just a matter of how the enterprise zones were renewing and such. So that was really historic collaboration. In less than 30 days, we got it all together. So thank you for your participation in that. And you can see that last sentence in that first bullet point is they will be required to hire at least 75 new positions at a certain wage level, which is 150% wage and compensation level. So those 75 positions alone is $3.9 million in wage and compensation that will come once they are up and running with their new projects. So that matters. That should matter to all of us because that's disposable income that then helps support your coffee shops and restaurants and things like that. So that, again, historic. That's the first time ever in our region we've had a long-term enterprise zone application. May very well be the last. It's not available in Jackson County because it's dependent on certain factors of distressed community, poverty rates, and things like that. So Josephine County is the only one now that even has this in our region.
Let's hope we're on a path to work our way out of that.
Yeah, I know there's the good and the bad. There's the good and the bad.
Okay.
But again, historic collaboration, and that was huge to see us all come together on that. The second bullet item, you hear us talk about enterprise zone applications frequently. We processed 8 enterprise zone applications with a minimal investment of $61 million. Now that includes the Dutchbro project. Okay, and they have a significant investment. When we take out the Dutchbro, it's still about $12 million of investment in our two counties, and you'll see that that's 141 new jobs, 422 existing jobs, and those projects are in Cave Junction, Central Point, Grants Pass, Kirby, Medford, and White City, so it's across the board.
What's the Kirby company?
The Kirby is Rogue Truck Body.
It is Rogue, okay.
Yes, and so the next bullet point, we have loan financing, gap financing, which we come along and take a second behind a bank. And sometimes Business Oregon is involved because it doesn't have to be a financial institution, just another lending organization. It could be IBCDO one day if there was a piece in there for them. But we lent $1,084,000 in gap financing, again, to 5 companies in our region. And again, you'll see where those are located: Trail, Medford, Central Point, Cave Junction, and Ashland. And there's a job creation element with that also. Job creation and retention. That's really where our sweet spot is. It's not about getting a return on the investment like a bank would. We're established as a gap financer since 1994 to help someone who can't get the bank financing to keep going forward. So that's what that's about.
What is your year? Because I know that you guys just...
July 1 through June 30th. So that is this last fiscal year.
You're working on a loan with Rogue Truck Body right now?
Yes, and that will fall into this next.
It didn't.
It's not in this number. Okay, and that's a very promising loan application.
His enterprise zone made it in this past
fiscal. Enterprise zone's in this,
but
not the loan application.
Their remodel and expansion.
Right, yeah. But we did have one other application.
That's a quarter of this number.
Yes. Yeah, this is pretty standard from year to year. We go somewhere between $800,000 and $1 million every year.
Yeah.
We're close to $20 million lent now since we are an economic development district. That's a federal designation that allows us to do that. So gap financing continues to be strong. Rob, in particular, responded to 20 different recruitment leads and made proposals to those who are considering Southern Oregon for the next business expansion. And that's usually the point at which it starts. If someone's considering Southern Oregon and they don't know that they're particularly interested in a community yet, they may start with us, and they usually find us on the website or it comes through Business Oregon. We have a few leads that have come through site consultants, which we court and reach out to on some regularity. Okay, so we had 6 site visits from prospective new companies during that period of time. One of which has bought property, is in closing. And several of them are pending. I think there's 4. Yeah, the next one is 4 pending announcements that are in White City, Medford, and Jackson County.
Whatever happened to that styrofoam company that was building the blocks?
That was Bead. They had made a couple initial investments that sort of were not on their radar at the time they visited us. They had made an acquisition of a company on the East Coast that's part of their supply chain. Actually, there were 2 acquisitions. So they are very interested still, but we were pushed back a little bit given the capital outlay they made for those other things.
Yeah.
So it's still important to them from a shipping standpoint, and they're very interested, and they wanted us to know that. But
it sounded like we were a very viable part of their business plan when they figure what their distribution hub needs to be here, and they recognize that.
And the second company that was here in January did purchase property and is moving forward. So
it's Project Invisible.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. I mentioned the pending announcements. So on a regular basis, between Kathy Troutman, who's here today, we just ran into her in the cities of Grants Pass office, between her and me and Rob and our venture catalyst, we made over 150 outreach calls. So we're out visiting businesses, finding out how's it going, what are your constraints, what are your growth plans, and then we try to bring resources to those. So that's a major component of why we were established 31 years ago, was to be someone who's consistently out making outreach to companies. And oftentimes, if we're here, for example, Kathy is here now, she's sitting down with a client in the Grants Pass office to talk about their expansion here in Grants Pass. So when we're out making calls, we call upon our partners, like Julie, when we went out to see Rogue Truck Body or whatever community, and we're calling on partners to go with us if they have someone. When I first started at SoReady, a lot of the communities had a person specific to economic development, and that's not the case necessarily anymore. So Business Oregon goes with us frequently, and when we need to, we'll call someone from a particular city or a community to be with us. If the company has identified that as a need and a desire right away. Sometimes they just want to express whatever's on their mind. Since we're not regulatory, we're kind of a neutral party before we figure out what the next step is.
So I'm curious, because lately we've had a lot of discussions about people who say, gosh, it takes forever to get my permits and blah, blah, blah. And we've been showing, no, look, we had this and this amount of time. Look at this response. But with the annual meeting, I think it was, where I learned that the Enterprise Zone, or maybe it was just the Dutch Bros thing, they can't have broken ground to qualify for the Enterprise Zone. So if they're coming to your office, say, I want a permit, and you identify them as, hey, you'd be eligible for an Enterprise Zone, is that the moment you call and kind of get them connected, but not wanting to put at risk the time frame for a permit?
It really depends. Like, I had somebody in 2 weeks ago who wants to take their company from California and they want to bring it up here. And so staff right away knew, when they heard this, they're like, Julie, you know, you got to talk to Julie. So I sat down with them and I explained to them what SoReady does and what our partners do, gave them the information, and I said, do you want me to call them? And they said, no, we'll call them. You know, so some of them just want to take it at their own pace and kind of gather all the information until they're ready to move forward. Others will have them call SoReady directly. It kind of depends where they're at in the process. But yeah, we try to keep an eye on what's going on up there. Most of the development that we have going on is in James area. And so James has been here long enough that he knows that if there's something like an addition going on or something that he needs to either handle it, Shreddy's card, or if I'm there, have him talk to me.
I was sharing with Commissioner DeYoung before we got started that we have a 1 o'clock with Julie's department where we're going in to share with them what we do and help them understand when they ought to ask someone at the front counter a question like, are you going to be hiring employees? So that they can identify those opportunities to say, you really should reach out to So Ready also because we hold the incentives. They're not our incentives, but we're that liaison to all the incentives. So we're trying to do this with all of our development departments in all the different cities to help them understand when they might want to ask some more specific questions about employees and redirect so that we don't miss any opportunities. We have had opportunities over the years in which someone went ahead and did something in a hurry, and then they try to get the incentives, and it's not retroactive. And that's the value of making consistent outreach calls, is to try to preempt any expansion before we've actually got an enterprise zone application.
Now, Commissioner Morgan, you said something about if you've broken ground, you can't apply. What's the definition of breaking ground? Is that actually sticking a shovel in the dirt, or
footings?
Is that applying for a permit?
No, they can apply for the permit and okay. still be eligible. Like Road Truck Body is a good example. So when we met with them, you know, Colleen explained the program to him and explained, if you want to do this, you can't physically start the project on the ground until we actually have that application. So she worked with them to quick get an application because we knew they were in a hurry, to quick get that application so then they could go ahead and start their project.
That's what I was going to wonder. Right. If because we have the contractor that says, I want my permits and I want them as soon as so I can get break ground. And then they say, well, no, you know, if So Ready can't process paperwork fast enough, you're held up. So,
and really
what's the timeline on the two?
What really needs to happen is I just need to have the application in hand. That's okay. really the starting point with the address and such, and completely filled out,
and
that sort of thing, and a date. Yeah.
And certainly the idea of the discovery happening at the point of application for a permit is not ideal. Ideally, we would have like to have had a conversation much, much earlier, mm-hmm. you know, have some kind of pre-app meeting where we like to bring in planning departments, people from energy rebate, people from the state, other people that are all present, where we can just discuss in broad terms what their project is.
If you tweak this just a little, you'd be eligible for this.
Exactly.
And just identify where are the potential roadblocks that they need to be aware of so they can kind of get the grand scheme. Particularly land use issues are always a bit of an education for people that are coming from outside the area. They don't usually, they're not used to the land use issues in Oregon, that kind of thing. So,
right.
Okay.
I will say this and I've mentioned this a little bit to a commissioner here. Colleen tries to turn those enterprise zone applications around as fast as possible, like mm-hmm. within days. But in our county, there is a holdup on that. And that is a lot of counties, you know, it has to go through your assessor's office. A lot of counties will accept electronic signatures, sign, and send it back electronically. So you can do stuff in a day. In our county, it doesn't work that way, which delays the process.
Yeah.
And makes people...
Do we need the software to accept it? What is the holdup?
No, it's just that I think Connie wants to be particularly sensitive and make sure that she sees an original document versus
okay.
just something that's scanned. And I've asked her to reconsider since all of our counterpart agencies are doing electronic.
But it's a very simple problem that we can solve.
Yeah.
We solve it in our office. We only sign originals, but we can get it approved and signed, but finalizing the document with an original.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's. We've never
yeah.
signed anything that doesn't have original signatures, but that doesn't mean that it holds up the process at all.
Yeah.
We get it done and move forward, and then after it's all done, what we keep in our records is an original. So that's what I would suggest we do is give Connie the authority from legal to sign a scanned
okay.
document.
That'd be
but
great.
After it's all done, when we have all the time in the world, we send it around an originally signed document, and that's what we all keep for our records. We send three of those around, you keep one, we keep one, and the client keeps one, and we're good to go.
It's a good sidebar discussion. I just this morning, since we had time, I went down to pick up documents for her
yeah.
related to Taylor's Sausage, which is an enterprise zone application. And what happened back in 2013, They did an enterprise zone application, and then things got waylaid because you couldn't get a contractor, couldn't get someone out to inspect. Things, you know, they were just busy.
Their USDA thing was a consideration.
Yeah, there were some delays, and the clock ran out. And so essentially, I'm kind of doing the short version of this. Essentially what happened is we had a conference call with the Department of Revenue. Terry Taylor and I, and there was someone else on that. I think Connie may have been sitting in on that call too, just to talk about giving them a waiver to give them the benefit anyway because of these extra, you know, circumstances beyond their control, and it was approved. And so I had to start the process all over again from 2013. I just had to create a new application, which I sent over to her, and she signed it, and I picked it up today. So that was a win for our region that the Department of Revenue recognized that, because that was a significant investment for them in refrigeration and new building and some stuff. And then they have another application that's current also. So they've been...
I don't want to take away from the positive of the road truck body or the Taylors, and I appreciate... One of my question is, how many people do you check in on in Josephine County? Do you have a number? Is it 10?
How many? Companies,
clients.
Or?
Yeah, how many people are
clients?
Traded sector businesses that we routinely on an annual basis or whatever try to check in on.
I would say it's probably a third of that 150, because you're about
so
a third. 50, you're
50
about a third
clients.
Of the population.
Mm-hmm. My concern is that Rogue Truck Body, and I'm using them. Everything's positive on this end. Mm-hmm. They had been thinking about this for 6 months, mm-hmm. at least, mm-hmm. and. That there wasn't some sort of a biannual check-in. I'm worried about Krauscraft having, you know, lost their owner with the ties here. There's just certain things that feel as though their check-in should be more on a schedule that doesn't have, you know, they were, it's only last minute because we just heard about it. It isn't last minute for them necessarily.
Right.
They're not also
we
not the most.
We do reach out to them on a fairly periodic, you know, basis, and sometimes they don't get back. So there was
a
change, you know, like they don't,
they did hire,
they're
like,
running and they can't get things done, you know, so, you know, it's not always for us not trying. It's, you know, just because of their busyness.
That's important.
But we do make, particularly those types of companies that really are traded sector, those manufacturers, a lot of employees, we're reaching out to them regularly.
With the number one poverty rate in the state, zip code.
Yeah. Krauscraft is on our list also.
I had seen Road Truck Body like a year and a half ago when I was there with Larry Holzgang on a way back from a meeting in Cave Junction, and it was just we were trying to, you know, maximize our time there. And
totally.
It was just a drop-in. We didn't have an appointment or anything.
Yeah.
But so
they're pretty accommodating, but that was my concern, is that we almost missed the boat on that. And it was a friend of Keith's that reached out to me, and it was like, I'm all about being in that meeting and trying to help out with creative solutions, but I just felt as though, you know, that should have been caught in a routine.
Well,
because the market's good and they're looking to hire more employees, and I know that there's an employee shortage for them, and there's lead-up elements that are tangential to that.
Right.
But there's certainly like a loan.
And we have been visiting Rogue Truck Body since I started with Survey.
Oh, I know.
And so. You know, when people transition out, there's,
there.
You know, there's a loss of, you know, connection there or something, but it's something we could do better, and we'll continue to work on doing that better. So I'll move on.
Well, like you were talking about Krauscraft, and they're doing in a transitional portion. I think it's a good time that you just pop in and say, you know, is there anything we can do for you? You know, you're on our radar. We're here for you. You know, if there's anything pops up, you know, we're here for you. And it's kind of a support it.
People that work out there.
Yeah, they are enterprise zone applicants also.
Yeah, just, you know, they haven't fallen off your screen, and that, you know, because a lot of times, you know, especially in transition, the new people get so bogged down with the surprises that come with business anyway that they, before they know it, I've been there, that before you know it, all of a sudden you wake up one day and you look at it and say, oops, I'm in some serious trouble here.
What I struggle with is, like, Keith knows about SoReady. They've been working with, you guys have been working with
them.
Since 2012, when the economy went terrible. You had, but it wasn't on his radar to reach out. He was going to float this project out of operations. which is not a very wise business decision in my opinion, and I think he chose to seek a loan with you guys. I don't know what it is that bridges that gap, but we were even contemplating, you know, the county loaning him $500,000 if necessary, so that he's not pulling it out of operations, which means
right.
he can't hire people.
Well, it seems like we have a solution now.
Totally.
But, you know, we rely on our partners also as we're about, you know, to share and say, it looks like something's happening with this company. You know, for example, there's a company in Medford that's moving to Grants Pass.
Yeah.
And we became aware of it.
Sorry.
And we, like I said, somebody's got to go visit. And lo and behold, Kathy is visiting with that company right now with Susan C. Ryder. So, so a lot of times we have partners out there that hear something that share with us. A lot of things are referrals or that we find out about. So it's all of us being aware of these programs together and saying, have you called So Ready? Or have you called whomever it may be for some resource? So
I'm trying to recruit one from Ashland to move over.
Okay. What can we do to help you? Let us know.
Yeah, I'll get you contact information.
And you have to know, too, that we are not ever about poaching or recruiting someone from. It's like we listen to what the client's needs are, and then we help them find the resources or the point person in a community that they go to.
And it's only possible because they had concerns about where they were.
Okay.
And it's an opportunity to have it stay in Southern Oregon with support for bigger growth. And regional expansion.
So if you want to let me know how I can help you, then please do. I'll move on.
I just want to say one thing real quick. Sometimes there's a gap, like with Rogue Truck Body. On like when Rob, Larry, and I were out there and we met with them, we didn't meet with Keith. You know, they tell us who they want us to meet with.
Yeah.
So we meet with them, and that's who, because we had talked to them about permits at that time and everything. Keith was never a name in that realm. So sometimes you have where the manager isn't connecting with, so you've got some gaps in there sometimes, which
makes
sense.
A really good point.
We do.
But maybe that's something that where Commissioner Hare, who's got a connection to someone personally, can come along and try to get that meeting for you guys or something like that.
Yeah, I was frustrated Keith didn't call me 6 months ago. You know, if you're thinking about this, Keith, the idea of a lot line adjustment with that neighboring property so you don't have to buy the whole 60 acres or whatever. You know, those creative, he's like, you can do that? I said, yeah, you can do anything you want.
That's what we can do. Yeah, that's one of the things we can do.
We're here to solve problems, but you have to tell me what your problem is before I say, we'll buy that property. We'll remove that riparian, offset it with our 30,000 acres of making an improvement in a riparian area. You know, those are things that people just, not average, or I guess kind of come up with, but we'll figure out a way to make it work.
I found that usually when companies decide that they're going to do stuff out of operations, the thing that suffers is their workforce, because that's where they get the money.
That's
exactly right.
They get the money. We're all about employment opportunity here and jobs and jobs and jobs. And I know of a company over in Medford that towards the end of the year, in order to make their fourth quarter look really well, they laid off all their employees. Well, all of a sudden the money's coming in and nothing going out. Boy, everything looks real good in the fourth quarter, but that doesn't do anything for employment.
Yeah.
Well, that was one of my frustrations with the local that everybody touted, oh, this great job that we brought into downtown Grants Pass, but they have a tendency to hire seasonally. And after 90 days, they lay off mass amounts, and then they'll hire seasonally 3 months at a time.
Oh, you're referring to something else. Okay.
Another one that was a sorority one when I was across
FCR.
The... Yeah, but it's kind of one of those things that it's like, how do you take care of your employees, so that they continue to invest in your community versus looking for other places to go? And when you're in a perpetual seasonal temp kind of situation, and that's the nature of their business, but there's still something to, is it really creating jobs?
Although with respect to Enterprise Zone, just as a point of fact here, they have to commit to a certain number that are full time. They may also have these others that are coming in and out seasonally for special projects, but they have to meet a certain number for the Enterprise Zone benefit, or they pay back taxes.
They probably met that just based on that them starting in downtown was a new business, so every employee was a new employee.
Right.
But the pattern after watching for 10 years is that it's a lot of seasonal people that are in and out, and people, I'll get hired back in 3 months. They like me, so I'll come back, but it's not a lot of investment in long term.
Commissioner, I was going to say, too, to your point, I think
it's very common that local people doing expansion don't, they just assume that it's on them to have to bear the brunt. Where people coming in, the first question they ask is, what incentives do you have?
Exactly.
What, you know, make it worth my while. But I think when they're just growing or expanding, it never dawns on them that there might be incentives available to them, because they just assume that's the price of success.
Yeah,
I just have to pay the freight.
Right.
So that's a harder message to communicate.
All right, so these last three bullet points on page 2, I think those were the primary bullet points, all have to do with kind of that category of launch, helping entrepreneurs. And so we have, every Wednesday, we have what we call sounding board sessions with entrepreneurs. They got an idea, they come in. There may be some other folks in there with us help that represent a particular area of marketing or distribution or something that that entrepreneur needs. And we just talk to them about what the next step is. And our goal is to help entrepreneurs that are scalable business models get scaled up and find the equity investment, or it could be debt financing also to help them add jobs. So, you know, you always got to start with a big number. So that's 100 of those. We did have two investments, about $650,000 in new equity made, one to one Grants Pass company and to an Ashland company. Sometimes it's not our own Southern Oregon Angels, because they may have a particular interest area, and so we'll introduce them to angels and other investment groups outside the region, which is the case in which of the Grants Pass company here. They found investment outside our region, but we facilitated that. So we're just always trying to connect them to the next resource. And our venture catalyst is part of a statewide network. We're not the only one doing this. It's a statewide initiative for Oregon to become one of the top 10 states in startups. So we're working on it together. That last number, the $500 grant awards, doesn't seem like a big number, but we had a little bit of money that came off of interest off of one of our loans that closed. And so we took that money, it was about $3,500, set it aside, and offered up small little grants to these. $500 to a company that just needs to create some business cards to get moving is a big deal. So we kind of run the gamut from big things to little things, and we're going to see more of those little things coming to fruition in the future. So that's just kind of a snapshot. The rest of this really talks about some things that we're working on. You have signed up for our Crown Dinner, so thank you for coming to that. We are working to bring all of our mayors and our top elected officials together just to talk about unity and some visioning that we have for the whole region, since we're a regional organization. Rob is working very heartily at the bottom of page 3 on Quest, which is a digital competition for high schools. We've got 4 high schools involved, scholarships planned to kind of connect them to. There's 50 some profiles that we have total that are either published right now or in the queue, to connect them to those companies, that those are companies here that offer good jobs and careers. So this is a beta test that's going to happen in September. He's been working with a local coder to get it done, and we're really excited about that, and so are the businesses. So you'll hear more about that as we go forward. We're very keen on establishing a seed fund for entrepreneurs. We're working on that right now. That's on the last page. And then we do a lot of industry collaborations. There's a lot that we have going on that doesn't necessarily end up in a tidy metric that says we made 5 outreach calls or whatever it is. It's some of those initiatives trying to build momentum to help businesses take the next step. Those were my comments. What I also brought for you today, and this may be more than you want to know, but this is actually a report that I'm required to do for the EDA. It's called the GPRA, which is like government reporting. Anytime you have a grant, you got to do this, which really talks about, I'll hand you each one of those. Really talks about all the initiatives that we have going on, some of which I've already talked about and laid out, but this covers things from, we had our first ever number 7 on page 2. I don't have the page numbers on there, but it's number 7. For the first time ever, we had the first rural renewable energy development happen in Jackson County, which also goes through an enterprise zone. So if somebody wanted to do a solar farm here, that's potential also to get some incentives for them. So this is the first time ever.
I have a question on a solar farm. So you have, say you have 10 acres of, would that have to go on a commercial or industrial piece of property?
Not for a solar farm. This particular one's on EFU land.
Okay.
That was not at its highest use. It wasn't even, it was very little value.
Okay.
We're working on legislation to preclude using high-value farmland.
Absolutely, yeah. So this was low.
Well, the reason I'm asking is that I hear stories about how successful solar energy is, but the wire coming out of the panel doesn't justify that from somebody that does a little bit of electrical. And so I'm wondering, you know, the square footage of a solar farm is taking up space that you can maybe have a building with employees, and a solar farm doesn't do anything for any kind of employment opportunity. Basically, it just lays there. And it also, you know, if you would have had a factory there or something, what's the value of that land?
Right.
And when you amortize, how much energy comes off of that land? Is it, it does
if
it pencil?
If it were industrial land.
Does it pencil without subsidies from the government or the power company? Because at some point in time, those are going to go away. And now I look at that land, I go, gee, I could have had a mobile home manufacturing plant right there and made this much per square foot.
Yeah.
Rather
that's all
than
based on if it went on industrial, commercial land. This was EFU land.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I only share that because that's the first time we did anything like that in our region also. And that required a special consideration from the Jackson County Commissioners. And I think why I share these things in particular is because it really shows collaboration of being business friendly, which is our vision for our region, is to be as business friendly as is.
Is there room on the grid for, is there a need on the grid for electricity that comes off of a solar energy plant?
I think that's kind of a question for Pacific Power.
I've already asked that question.
Yeah.
I already know the answer.
Yeah.
Okay, that's
okay.
Right. That's
so you can see all these things that we do that I report on to the EDA. Number 15 is with respect to what we're doing today with Julie's. Well, we meet with planners on a regular basis, quarterly, just to share best practices and talk about what are you doing over there? How can we have more unity and maybe have things that are a little bit more clear, whether you develop in Medford or Grants Pass or Butte Falls, you know, trying to find some synergy. So we talk about that stuff. We meet quarterly. Rob does that. And then related to that, we're going to meet with the Julie's group today.
Those meetings, those quarterly meetings, are where we've also been discussing for the last year and a half consistent applications and consistent processing timelines throughout the region.
Trying to figure out if we could.
That would be my question. I mean, like if we were to reduce planning fees for commercial, industrial by 50%, where's the efficacy in that? Does that spur on?
Right.
I know that at the city, they reduced SDCs significantically for a portion, and it just seemed like positive cockroaches came out of the woodwork to take advantage of that. But then looking at it from a standpoint of how does a Wild River, who had paid all the SDC fees when they first started up, they're in the burger business, and then you just gave a zero SDC to a Red Robin who takes away 10% of their margin, but that's what's keeping them afloat. So you brought them, but then you just took them, you know, from a
And I don't know if that is because Wild River didn't know to ask or what.
I'm not sure it was a...
We don't get too involved in the retail side of things, but...
It was a non-traded sector.
Right.
Trying to do the example of Rogue Sash and Door, they just moved, and what kind of incentives were there for them? And the next guy who comes in, they don't have to pay any SDCs. Well, they just paid a bunch to go move down to Spalding. Or I don't know. Just it sounds good, but you have to look at it from the holistic of that can make the guy who paid the freight
from.
And you're never, but you're never going to get away with that. Get away from that. Those are. The reason we did the SDC reduction at that particular point in time, we did it for 6 months, because all around us, people were building. And here we are, and we had to give some kind of incentive to be better than they are.
Keep up with
and we just jump-started with a six-month deal. We brought so many different projects in during that 6 months, we extended it for another 6 months.
But it was only a deferral, right? I mean,
exactly.
Medford was a deferral, and I think you were too.
Exactly.
So it still gets paid. It's just, is it going to be paid at the point of application for the permit or paid upon occupancy?
No, ours was a deferral.
No, it wasn't
a reduction in SDCs.
Oh, okay. Medford was
a
deferral.
In order to bring people in. But it had a shelf life. It had a date certain that it was going to stop. And if you were in that, hey, you took advantage, you were ready to rock and roll when that 12-month period was in, you were in. If you weren't, it went right back to normal again. So it was an incentive program.
My question is about a strategy that goes using those tools in the toolbox of, are we thinking about that? I mean, I think
exactly.
about it, but I don't know where the holistic proposal is coming from to say, so here's what you're going to do in 2018, here's what you're going to do in 19, here's what you're going to do in 20,
or
something like that.
I think that's part of our goal in bringing the mayors and such together, to talk about some strategies that we can, you know, start with the low-hanging, what are some things we can do now, and keep building upon that to have things that are consistent. So it's not just one community or another, it's the whole region
and
is
not
in it
putting
together.
Yourself where you're having to make the decision of, like, we're just not going to collect SDCs for a year. That's not, your SDCs might be out of proportion if people weren't even looking at your place because they were so much higher. Maybe you meet it in the middle and you say, well, we're going to reduce them forever by, they're 30% over what they should be to be competitive in the region.
The problem the city council had is we were not getting accurate information. When we asked for that information, we got back a bunch of information that, surprise, surprise, Grants Pass was right smack in the middle of everything, and we knew darn well it wasn't.
Yeah.
And so when we brought our own information forth, we got blistered pretty good for it. But it was, you know, it was a fact we couldn't get good information. But that's one tool you have in the toolbox, SDCs, as far as the city goes. I think if we are competitive or not competitive, we're going to know by the people coming to see Julie saying, whoa, your permits are so far off base that you're not competitive anymore. We're going to Bedford, we're going to Jackson County, we're going to Douglas.
I think it's as much about time as it is about money.
I had a contractor tell me that. It's not a matter of how much I pay, it's how quick can I get
so
it done.
We made an effort to reach out to all the planning departments and have them give us their guidelines for the permit process. Frankly, it was a bit discouraging because the detail and complexity given Oregon's state laws, you know, everybody's trying to conform to that, but they apply it in their own way.
And then they'll change it.
And so it was very confusing. So where we're at now is we're interested in trying to move everyone towards some kind of common approach.
Yeah, right.
But there are state guidelines that have to be met that we cannot deal with. Everybody has to meet those things. It's more about the internal attitude, for lack of a better word, and how we can change that. So that very much is something that we could benefit from at the Crown Dinner, is getting everybody's input and thoughts about prioritizing that. And that could make, a huge impact if we stepped up the time frame.
It would be nice if the whole region could say, well, how long does it take to get a permit? And all entities say 60 to 90 days.
Yeah, because right now it's very
I can do it in 45 and trying to outbid everybody. Yeah.
That's right. So we need to start by coming together, I think, and really discussing what is our vision and some strategy and get down to some tactics.
It's not just process. I mean, I think that there's infrastructure elements. There's a commitment to broadband, which I know Commissioner Morgan's passionate about, and really laying out how do we address these issues regionally so that we're not just trying to reach out and build this thing that goes to nowhere, but it actually facilitates getting access to our neighbor as well. There's a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, Exit 61, when I first came on board, that was huge. We just leaned into it and we made it happen, and the next thing you know, it's fixed and there's no employment impediment due to ODOT's failing infrastructure up there. We've got other issues. But
one question I'd have on the planning meeting, is that something you think we could maybe make sure the public works guy, is it Eric that comes over, the engineer, could be a part of that, so to make sure that everybody involved with the folks coming in, and how often do we hear from the citizens, well, gosh, I got this answer at planning, but I got this answer at public works, and I'm sent back and forth. It's been helping that he's in your office once a week. Maybe it would be helpful if he also attended this meeting here to get a bigger picture.
I would say probably not the right group at that level. Maybe bigger meetings if we pull more people into them.
Okay.
This is usually your, your community development director, city administrator, the people in, I shouldn't say not.
I guess I misunderstood that you were meeting with the whole planning staff at some point.
We are. So there's these meetings we have quarterly with Julie and Susan C. Ryder and those types. And then we are trying to be proactive in going to all the departments and just sharing what we do so they have a better understanding of how they might be able to help someone who's at the
county. And Eric will be at that one.
Perfect.
Yeah. Got it. Yeah.
Okay.
I was combining two meetings.
Yeah.
And then we have some ideas that we're going to share at the Crown Dinner also about some next things that we can do to bring unity to all of it. So there's lots of things on here. We have a manufacturing summit coming up on the 16th. We have Steve Brown. Some of you may have heard him before coming. We do our industry tours, career fairs. We've got a lot going on. These are just things that I share with the EDA, and I mentioned the seed fund. And you'll see at the very front, you know, what are our goals, our objectives, just 1 through 7 is to do those things. Go ahead.
My apologies to interrupt. On your industry tours, I remember attending one early on. I don't know if I ever did a second one or not, but it kind of showcases different businesses in the community and different things. I know you guys have pulled the schools in onto that.
That's right.
But who would be, when we see advertising for those tours, who can we reach out to say, hey, you should consider taking part in this? Who would your ideal target be on attendance in that?
Right now, the ideal target audience is educators so that they connect with the businesses out there to connect the jobs and the careers back to the students.
So about half of the bus is just educators. The person is at Three Rivers School District. I know Grants Pass High School is Shauna Bland, but the equivalent at Three Rivers. So they're involved in those. You have them going.
I think that we've had a couple of people from Three Rivers. I'll ask Kathy. She's going to join us for lunch, whether she has a specific person at Three Rivers that's getting the emails.
Okay. Because well, she sends and some out of them email. Are by high school, because we have a contact at Illinois Valley High School. But I just want to make sure that we're incorporating them, too. Sometimes they feel left out of...
Yeah, in fact, Julie and I met, what was her name, Kelly, who was a teacher at North Valley High School.
I think her name was Kelly.
sent her an email so that she would sign up for the newsletter so you see when these announcements come out, because the educator seats fill up really fast. They're complimentary seats, thanks to our sponsor, so the educators don't have to worry about paying for
lunch. And we do rotate them between the Joe County, Jackson County.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, just if there's anything we can do to help with that so that you're reaching your target.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, can I get you a water?
I'm good. I don't know what my issue is. I have many issues, but I'm good. I just have one other thing I wanted to share with you today. I have a check for you. So we had a repayment of a loan, which really wasn't a loan, it was a grant, come back to us for Recoil. They paid it off. And so you had put in $25,000 of this, and so this is the check. It's $25,000 being returned to Josephine County from that repayment.
Is that a big D, little E, big Y?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's all in there.
Just like the rabbit.
All right.
Their term came up for kind of the renewal where they were still trying to get things together. Didn't come up and they didn't get it done. And so we gave them the option just to pay off the loan without any interest. It never was intended to be a loan. It's kind of a wonky thing how it landed in our loan department. But $25,000 of that was your contribution way back, whatever year that was. They paid it off, and it's coming back to you.
And coincidentally, that's what it would cost to get the broadband out to the Illinois Valley Airport.
Yeah, I'm sure you have a whole bunch of other ideas on that. Would be a great one, because we had a great meeting recently with
Cameron
Camp about some ideas out there in Cave Junction. There may be other things. I was thinking even, you know, with your Food and Friends, you know, shelter. I would love to see it go to a business thing, but, you know, if you need to come up with additional funds.
It'll be earmarked for economic development. That's where those funds were
fabulous.
Probably came from.
It came from your grant program.
What does broadband have to do out in the IB? We were talking about yesterday at the IB airport. They no longer man the fire towers anymore. They're all just cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And when their service goes down with, who's their?
Frontier.
Frontier. The cameras don't work anymore, I guess. Would broadband correct that? Is it in the airwaves or is it hardwired?
No, it's not hardwired.
Okay.
There's a
repeater type thing,
That's what we have at the ranch, and Cameron's company does it. So that's what's going up to Grayback and some others. I think they do man some of them.
There are some fibers actually physically going, and there's some airway ones physically going. There's a conglomeration, yeah.
The problem is there's three different people that get the information from point A to point, the electron from point A to point B, and if Frontier is manning this, you know, 1 mile of line and everything else has to go through that, then, you know, everything goes through a cable that's going out there.
We asked yesterday if they were manned, and they said no. So they're no longer manned, like Onion Mountain, Peavine, or anybody like that. They're all electronic now.
I think that was the last one, maybe. Then Grayback was the last camera. Mm-hmm.
So just interesting, because the fires, you know, they pop up, and all of a sudden you lose connection. You go, now what? Now we don't have any eyes in the sky.
Well, and Frontier says they only have one line going to the valley, so if something happens that there's no redundancy to that line, and it's just... I mean, we had the meeting with Greg Walden's office. How do we come up with a solution? And it's like, well, you only have one line. What do? You know, and but what broadband would do would be allow any business out in that rural area to compete with anybody worldwide, because they could potentially have that business out of there. The industrial park or even a home-based business could compete with any business because they have access to instant internet.
So we do have a redundant fiber loop that we can tap into. You know, that goes up, it actually goes over to Japan, goes underground to Bandon, and then loops down through Medford. So we've got this loop. So if it goes out one spot, you don't lose power. The problem is we need to connect the valley into that loop. Mm-hmm. And that's where the challenge comes, because it's a lot of money. Because, you know, for somebody to run that fiber, they've got to have a lot of customers to make it worth their while.
Sure.
Or they need to go into satellite.
Well, density. If there's not the density, they just don't go there. Like cable, you get out into the rural, and well, how come I don't have cable just down the road? Because you're 5-acre parcels, and they got to run a lot of cable to pick up one customer. They're not going to do it.
Yeah. So Charter, Frontier, they haven't been providing that service. Cameron just became a public utility, so now he can go, and he's not into the big. He doesn't need the big profits like a Charter would. Mm-hmm. So he is in a position
where... shareholders.
Pardon me?
Does he have shareholders?
I don't think so.
Good, then he doesn't have any...
So now he's... Yeah, so he's a more affordable option for us. So if we can get the funding, he can serve areas at a lower cost than we could before. So, okay. So we have some opportunities there.
Okay.
Good. Well, thank you for your time. I did bring one of our hats from our annual meeting for each of you.
Well, thank you.
We do have this term that we like to throw out now. That's ridiculous. So, and I think I even talked about that in the thing about just being tenacious about getting stuff done.
I almost had to use the term at the softball game the other day.
That's just worth it. You can use the term anyway.
Commissioner Morgan, nobody was listening to our team anyway, so we can throw anything out there. Nobody cares.
Feel free to use it at any time.
One thing. I just want to bring this up because. It was hard for me to see the value in Soretti. And you're convincing me. You're doing a really good job. It's always deliverables. I didn't see anything for a long time. But I now am.
I'm seeing that, and
I'm liking the regional approach because we all don't need the bowling pin factory. Mm-hmm. Some of us need, there's a niche that comes with the bowling pin
factory. Knock that project off. I'm sorry.
There's a niche that comes with that, and there's a huge service area that the employees are going to need, and one of them is premium residential living, and maybe that's what our role is in the valley, is the bedroom community for all the executives, because they're going to spend their money where they live, not where they work.
Well, I appreciate that comment, and we know that we can continue to improve in just how we get the information out. Also, we're definitely not sitting on our laurels, though. We're busy, but we want to make sure we're doing the right things that are relevant. And I think that we're doing some good things. So thank you for that.
Yep. Anything else, commissioners?
No, sounds good.
I enjoyed, is it Cody?
Cody Spudnick?
Yeah. She was very informative at the annual.
So was she sitting with you at your table?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And it was neat hearing her perspective, and she's a good champion for your cause.
Well, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Anything else, Commissioner Hare?
Okay. Well, thank you very
much. Thank you very much. Moving on to item number 2 on the agenda, additional subjects and matters from commissioners.
I did a Parks Advisory Board workshop yesterday. We were out in the Lake Selmac area. It's really squeaking a lot. Can you hear that?
It's like fingernails and chalkboard.
Thank you.
I'm listening. I want to grab that card, though, for Colleen before she leaves.
The address that I thought was a big challenge was 637 Lakeshore, and I just wondered if that was on our list.
637 Lakeshore?
It's a real challenge to do, you know, you drive into this beautiful area, but then you've got 673. Did I say 637? 673.
637.
673. Okay.
Yeah, we want to be sure on that.
You'll know. There's no mistake on the whole road, on the whole way out from Grants Pass to Lake Selma.
But the guy with the front end loader, he's got an address.
Yeah, right?
I'm talking from a guy that put a heat pump in the wrong house.
I can check and see if we have a file open on that one.
That one needs to be on.
Do you know if it's a compound?
I don't think so.
Or just a mess?
It's just trash.
We'll look at it. We go back to that same problem where environmental health is supposed to take care of the trash ones.
Yeah.
They don't.
I'm not sure. I was just driving by and I was with.
But it needs to start into the channel somewhere, Julie. And if it needs to start in through you, then you say, "Oh, this isn't for me. Then let this work go."
And if we don't have complaints on it, we need to figure out our policy where a board member should be able to. I'll take the heat. I don't mind.
Yeah, exactly. I'll run point on this.
I'm the complainant.
Yep.
I just did it.
Yeah. Your neighbor. Your neighbors aren't going to go
out on a limb
for it.
The office can't do it.
Yeah.
But we can. You know. So.
Yeah. Right now, when commissioners give us a complaint or tell us something, we've been filing them as agency complaints.
If you want to join us later, we're going to be in Aquinas City.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner.
See you.
So when commissioners tell us about a complaint right now, we've been filing them as agency complaints.
Yeah.
Because that's what we do if DEQ complains or the sheriff or somebody like that. So we were talking about how commissioners should be able to file be able to just tell us without having to file a complaint and follow those complaint rules. So, okay, I'll look at 673 Lakeshore and see what we have.
Okay,
great.
Commissioner Morgan, you have anything?
No, thank you.
We had a meeting last week with the Smoke Jumpers organization out there at the airport. Larry and I went out. We're trying to get some resolution on this house out there, the house that's there. The old caretaker's mansion. And I think we had a very productive meeting. It was very cordial. You know, everybody had a lot of respect for each other. And I just happened to mention that, you know, at the very beginning it was, you know, demolition of that house, put the new manufactured home in and demolish the old one. That was what kind of was on the board. But we kind of made an offer to them that they consider. They haven't had a meeting yet, but they're going to have a meeting and get back to us on the 22nd of August to see what their Smoke Jumper Advisory Board would do to it. But the offer was Josephine County would give the Smoke Jumpers the house. They have to move it. Move it from where it is now into the historical district out there, historical plot, and then they can do basically what they want with it. It won't be a residence. It'll be where some of the things were kicked around was like a pilot's lounge for visiting pilots where they can just, you know, have lounge chairs and kick back and grab a donut or whatever. A couple of things, but that would be up to them then. They could fix it as they want to. They've said they've got plenty of labor to do it and materials and so on and so forth donated, but right now, if you were to put it back on, it would be sharing a septic and well with the residents, which I don't know how we could probably take care of that, but I would like to see the thing move, and then that way it's preserved inside the historic thing. It belongs to them. They can do with it as they please.
So does that mean the asbestos is preserved?
They're gonna abate all that. Oh, we would have, the demolition cost is $30,000. I think what I want to talk about is the board receptive to saying, okay, if we were going to demolish it, we have $30,000 outlay on it, but could we maybe offer also to help them move it in the cost of moving, if it's say $10,000 to move it, if we, because we say, yeah, we'll cover the cost of moving the thing over. You have to put the groundwork in and the, you know, all the foundation, new foundation for it to go to, and then go from there. I just wondering what your thoughts are on that. If they come back and say, yes, we want the place, and yes, we want to move it. They were talking, you know, one of the things that Gary out there brought up, and he's probably their strongest advocate, is that's got history, and we want to stay right there. If you want to, if you have a problem with it being on the same well and septic, move the manufactured home. I don't think that's. Then they wanted to refurbish it and rent it out. And I said, no, we're not going to refurbish it and rent it out because it has history. I don't think that would be the wise thing to do liability-wise. Another one was refurbish it, move the manufactured home, put the caretaker back in there with his family. And he will not go for that because his family was ill because of that house in the first place. So he's not going to move back in there. No?
No.
That's a story I got.
It's not a story we're repeating in public.
Okay.
All right. Real important.
Okay. But anyway, so again, they have some choices, and they were going to go back to the Siskiyou Smoke Jumpers and go from there.
I'm in favor of where you guys are going. I think it's great. I don't like seeing assets, you know, just totally lose their value. And all. What do we have? At the end of the day, we have a $30,000 bill and nothing to show for it.
Yeah,
that doesn't sound real fun. I'm all in favor of, you know, of course this is Larry's budget, so he's got to figure it out. If he's willing to choke down the $30,000 to demolish it, I think meeting him in the middle, if it's 10 or 15 to help out with the foundation and moving it, he's money ahead. It's not his problem anymore. But that's important to negotiate with the smoke jumpers.
If, right.
You don't get to look under the roof and find out, or under the footings or something, and say,
you take it or not.
Oh, we didn't know that, you know. It's
as is.
It's an as is car sale, you know.
And I think they've done their homework on that.
Oh, yeah.
They've had their inspections.
They know what they're getting into. They've been in every other building that was built out there. Nobody's going to know it better than them, you know. So
we just put that out to them, but I said, I don't want to wait till be talking about this in 19 and 20. You know, let's get it put together. You have your meeting. You know, that, you know, this is a suggestion. They said, well, we've never considered moving it, but, you know, maybe we will now. I said, it puts it inside your
district,
your historical boundaries there, and then it's yours.
Well,
the future of that building is yours.
In their wheelhouse, you know, that's what he does. So.
Yeah. I did remind him that it is not a smoke jumper museum with an airport attached. It's an airport that has the smoke jumper museum. It still belongs to the county, and there's only three people that will make the decision on that, and they're sitting at this table right now. So it was a very good meeting. I thought that came out with a very good feeling of it. And
That's the best case scenario, Commissioner DeYoung, that meeting went that well.
Yeah.
So, nice job, kudos.
And Hardesty, what's the guy's name from Malin?
Harold Hartman.
He was very, you know, he said, you know, we've never considered that. But I said, that's an offer. You know, you want it, it's yours. So we'll see how that works out. I hope it comes back on with something positive. Other than that?
No, just 673.
Okay. Other than
where
anything else?
These text amendments, and when are they moving forward? I've got two
Is
more
okay?
pages to read.
So Commissioner Hare just asked about the text amendments. So I've met with him last week to go through them. I wanted to meet with Commissioner Morgan and go through them. And I don't know if you had any, you gave some comments.
I have
them
on my desk right now,
okay.
In the paper copy.
Okay, so I just want to meet with each commissioner individually and then bring that back. I really would like to get them going and get them scheduled.
I do too.
Yeah.
I would like them implemented next year.
Yeah. My goal is still to have them in place ideally by the end of November. But like I said, I'll schedule something with both of you to go through.
Do those have to go to the voter?
No.
No.
No. Just amendments. Okay.
No, but there's other questions. So Augustus thinks we should send them to the notice to every single landowner to err on the side of caution.
No. That's not how we do this.
Because I was gonna say if we do maybe you do one postcard for
every RLDC change requires a notice to every landowner. Nobody does that in the state. So I don't want this marijuana thing getting us gun shy and setting
be
a precedent
the driver,
to doing stuff that is nobody's policy in the entire state. So no, there's no calling out a specific element here. It affects all designations potentially in Josephine County. They're positive things. No. It's just like we do how we have done every RLDC change.
Okay.
This marijuana ordinance, that's something different and specific, and that's what direction for policy needs to be for noticing. And maybe we did err. Maybe we should have noticed everybody with our R. I don't know. I still could go either way on that one, but so.
Okay, well, I'll meet in. We'll set up meetings this week so we can try and wrap that up and get it scheduled for next week.
Expensive that would be for the text amendment for our code codification, the things that we're going to have to do.
And the process, we're just starting. Yeah.
And it's a very,
we don't have enough money to do that.
And for us, it's a disincentivizes us to get it approved. Because if I would have to do that with Dan and I were Commissioner DeYoung and I were talking about Connex boxes, you know, or if we're looking at things like allowing weddings on properties, and I have to bring that back every time.
We just wouldn't do them.
I wouldn't do them.
The code is the way it is?
Yep. Okay. We got anything else? If nothing else, we are adjourned at 12 o'clock.